Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
What's going on, everyone? Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast, Bryce Diamond, to discuss the first kind of fifth of the year, roughly, 82-game season. Maybe we're only a sixth in the season. Regardless, Raps have played 13. A lot of other teams have played between 12 and 14 games. We've had in-season tournament games. We've had some hot starts from some teams. We've had some ridiculously laughable starts for some teams. But everyone's on a different path. Everyone's on their own journey, right? And you've got to love and respect and just enjoy where teams are at. And once again, this exciting NBA season is here. We get to take it all in. Yes, is it more stressful? Yes, at times do we, you know, want new officials and commissioner? Sure. But we love basketball. That's why we're here. I was just watching Welcome to Wrexham Season 2. If you don't know about it, it's the soccer team out of Wrexham, Wales, that is owned by Ryan Reynolds and his friend, who are, you know, movie stars, show producers. Obviously, Ryan Reynolds is the bigger of the two. No shot at his friend and partner in business. But Ryan Reynolds is the key. But anyways, they have a show. First season was on Netflix. Now it's on Disney. And they talk a lot to the fans. They kind of focus on maybe a player per episode. They also focus on an angle of the city or the fan base in some sort of way. And in the episode that I watched, there was a couple, an older couple who've been in Wrexham for years. And they were asked, like, you know, why do you do this? Why do you watch and obsess over this club? It's like such a superficial thing, but they just love it. They watch the games because they love it. They follow the team. They want to know how the players, coaches, ownership is doing, what they're about, what the future of the team is, how they want to be involved in the community or the city. And that's why we watch basketball, right? That's why we, on this podcast, watch basketball. That's why we follow this Raptors team so closely. But we fall in love with the players, right? There's not just guys on the Raptors. It's not just Canadians in the league, which is at an all-time high in the NBA, second most. If you didn't know, second most players come from Canada as a country. I think Australia's third. But we just love this team and we love our guys and we really encourage them and hype them up and love to see the ways that they're impacting the fan base, the community of basketball in Toronto. And then Toronto is a city and maybe the country too. The culture with this Raptors team is we're the only team in Canada. Of course, it impacts the culture of basketball across the nation, and it impacts the national program as well. And so, yeah, are we a little obsessed? Yeah, are we a little crazy? Yep. Can we get out of it? Maybe, but we just love it. That's why we do it. So today, we're going to take a step back from this fast start. And we're going to look at how people started, how teams started around the league, how individuals have started. talk about some of the better teams and better starts from individuals, and then look at the Raptors kind of in a big picture way. I know we're only, 13 games in the season, but I want to do this, once a month. We'll probably do this for the Raptors specifically, and then we'll also have this league musings. We've done this in a while. I'll do a power ranking each month, and then into the new year, following J.J. Redick's advice to not start MVP conversations until All-Star voting begins, I'm going to start, MVP power rankings probably around, the 35-40 game mark, which is about halfway. 41 games is the halfway mark. So probably just before that, sometime in January, I'll do that as well. But I always think it's important. I always think it's important to comment on what's happening league-wide and also, get excited about the positive things we see with the Raptors as a team and as individuals, because it's too easy to live and die by each game. And you need to pull back. And it's too easy to live and die by your team. There's so much basketball. There's so much entertainment and excitement and personalities and skill and fun that's out there in the league. So that's why I love doing these particular episodes. All right. So I'm going to start with some surprises this season, some surprise bad starts, and I'll comment why, and some surprise good starts. I mean, the easy part is commenting on the good to some extent, and we'll start with Fred VanVleet's Houston Rockets. I believe they're only 6-5. They've played a lot less games. I want to say they went down to Mexico for one of their games, and that's why they're a little behind some of the other teams. I could be wrong about that. I don't know the Houston Rockets team intimately. Obviously, with Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet there, I followed them a little bit. But this is a Houston Rockets team last year that were dreadful, just dreadful. They're one of the worst teams in the league. They were talked about after James Harden left them in 2020, the beginning of the 2020-2021 season, where he went to Brooklyn. He wanted out. Daryl Morey gave him that opportunity. This Rockets team was in a full rebuild. And so no one had a lot of expectations. Ime Udoka comes in as the coach. We know what he did in Boston when he took his team to the finals. They did add, as I said, Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet, vets, pros, who play both sides of the ball, who've had some flashes, some moments, some seasons, some highlights, high points. And you thought, okay, maybe this team will be around 500, but who knows? They could be really bad. And coaches matter, as I've heard a bunch from David Thorpe on True Hoop. And I agree. They set culture. They set the tone of the locker room. They manage egos. And we've seen that in Darko already this season and the drastic change from last season under Nick Nurse. And that's not all on Nick Nurse, but some of it is. And you got to hold him accountable to that. And I think many people have. And he was obviously fired, but he's doing great in Philly. But the Houston Rockets started the season 6-3. Like, good for them. They're a plus 3.7 on point differential per game. That's pretty excellent. Their defense, which was almost non-existent the past three seasons. I mean, John Wall and Eric Gordon are not defensive stalwarts. They were on this team during the 2021 season. They're no longer there. Seguin, he's come on looking strong as a big man. They got some good things going for them. Unfortunately, they lost the last two games, so they're 6-5. But a surprising start for them. Do I think that they will make the playoffs outright? I don't. I don't think they're a top six team in the West. Do I think they'll make the play-in? Are they a 9 or 10 seed in the West? It's going to be tough. There's a lot of teams who, like the East, that are kind of in that 6-12 zone, right? Like San Antonio is probably not going to make the playoffs this year. I doubt Portland is going to be anywhere close to that conversation. Both teams are 3-10 right now. Utah's 4-9, but have been quite competitive, I would say. But then, you know, you look at the Clippers, they're 4-7. They finally won a game with James Harden. Also a big surprise, but that's on the bad side. We'll get there in a sec. But the Houston Rockets, I think, could be in that kind of 10 or 11 conversation. And it's going to come down to, can these young guys on their roster, who have been without a veteran, been without a lot of focus and purpose, can they be really good and play under the structure of Emi? Can they play with vets who ask a lot of you, who are ambitious, in Fred and Dylan, who have made the playoffs multiple times? We'll see, right? It'll be interesting. They do have some real athletic guys, like Tate and Smith, who add like some really good defense for them, and their defense has been a top 10 defense so far. So it will be interesting. Of course, they have the rookie Amen Thomas, who's on this team, who's going to be a star in the league in a few years. Jalen Green has been a little bit muted to some extent, but I think that's good. You know, when you look at this roster, they have five guys averaging double digits. And so this has been a surprise, but a really good one, a good story. Dylan Brooks, 13.7 points a game. Fred, 17.2 points a game. I believe he's fourth in the NBA in assists, 8.8. That's really good to see. Unfortunately, not a lot of minutes for Boban, who is just such a good guy for the locker room. Reggie Bullock is on this team, who played for Dallas the last few years and was a starter at times. He's on the bench, kind of playing the Thad Young role, I believe, on this team. But yeah, they got lots of young guys, lots of young talent. They want to see Jalen Green get better. He's shooting 37.5 from behind the arc. That's really good to see. Dylan Brooks is shooting almost top in the league, 51.2% from downtown. I'm sure he will slow down. I think he was somewhere around 57, 58 a week ago. So he's slowing down. Likely that will find itself somewhere in the low 40s, but that's a hell of a turnaround from where he was last season with the Memphis Grizzlies. But yeah, this team looks good. They got good good vibes in Houston, and the restructure has made a big difference. And again, leadership matters. Coach, veteran point guard, veteran defending wing. Good, they've been a positive surprise. Another surprise, T-Wolves, specifically the defense. They are a top defense in the league right now. Great to see. You love to see it. A team make this huge leap from the season before. Sorry, the Timberwolves are second in defense rating. They were number one earlier in the season. So, that's just great, 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 great to see. Even ahead of the Boston Celtics. I was talking about the Houston Rockets defensive rating. They're actually the fourth highest defensive rating in the league. That's outstanding. Outstanding. Good for them. But this Minnesota Timberwolves have finally figured out Karl-Anthony Towns and Gobert, how to play him on the same roster, how to play him at the same time. Towns is playing more that stretch four role, but obviously in transition lineups, even on some games to close, Karl-Anthony Towns is able to play, the five role. But Rudy Gobert also gets to play the five when Naz Reid is on the floor, because Naz Reid gives you that spacing that you want, right? He's a great shooter for a big. Again, he can play the five even when Karl-Anthony Towns is on the floor. So that's good. There's a lot of talk of maybe Gobert, most likely Cat, getting traded. I think it'd be interesting if Karl Anthony Towns was traded for a guy like Siakam, but of course you want the spacing and Towns gives you that. Siakam wouldn't give you as much. But it'd be, you know, a guy who's more of a wing, who could defend the wing. Karl Anthony Towns' defense at times is questionable. What's going to happen in the playoffs? That's a big question, but they have been a sprinter. They have started very fast. It's great to see. Another positive one we got to mention is the Orlando Magic. And the Orlando Magic right now have the best defense in the league. Very surprising. Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner have been brilliant for them. Obviously, their offense is slowly progressing, developing, coming along, and I think they're only going to get better. But their defense has been great. And Jalen Suggs has been the top three in steals to start this season. Really good to see the Orlando Magic playing well. They're 8-5. Similar to Houston, young team, needed some structure, got a new coach a couple years back. That made a difference. But then these young guys are making leaps. Great to see. And then you add a guy who was in Denver for some playoff runs, like Gary Harris. You had a guy who is a really good at the point of attack at the top of the key, or sorry, at the top of the three defender, bigger point guard in Markel Fultz, who's there. You add anchors defensively like Wendell Carter Jr. And all of a sudden you see, begin to understand why this defense is so strong. They've got good guard depth off the bench with Cole Anthony. And, you know, they have found some early magic in Orlando. So that's excellent to see. Well, outside of those teams, oh, the Thunder. I haven't even talked about the Thunder. And we'll get to some of the players on the Thunder, the Wolves, the Pacers in a bit. But the Thunder have been really good. And they have caused some serious storms for defenses. They've won five straight, I believe, and that's great to see. I think we knew they were on the right trajectory. They were not just trending in the right direction, but you could see that things were falling into place. Great young coach, again, who gave them structure and belief. But then Chet Holmgren comes back into the lineup after being out all of last season. Still a rookie. He will be up for that Rookie of the Year award. But here's a team that's won five straight. They're 7-3 in the last 10. 10-4 record. They look really good. Second in the Western Conference. And with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, obviously, as the centerpiece, the star there. All-NBA first team last year. Continues to play excellent basketball. The Oklahoma City Thunder, just how well they've played is really impressive. Pacers, Sixers, best offenses in the league. I was surprised that the Sixers actually were able to move on from James Harden so quickly, even while he was on the roster. And then, of course, once he leaves, Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid continue to be really good. Under Nick Nurse, playing free, playing fluid. I think Tobias Harris looks as good as he's looked, probably since that 2019 year when their hearts were broken and they had Jimmy Butler on their team. But he looks really good. They've got two really elite guys. And as good as Ben Simmons was, again, from a spacing standpoint, from a pick-and-roll standpoint with Joel, he never really had the same level of abilities, being able to score at the three or four levels that you want to and being a playmaker at three or four levels. Obviously, defensively, he was elite, 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 but there were things missing in his game, and Tyrese Maxey, as a guard, really checks all the boxes for you. So to see those two guys play at such a high level, to transition so quickly from Harden, and now to see Tobias Harris playing well. Melton has been excellent for them. And, you know, you're going to get vets like Nick Batum, Morris, who's a Philly guy, and Robert Covington, who are going to help you space the floor and win tough games, both offensively and defensively, through their skill sets. So really good to see Philly in that, in those positive ways. The bad start surprise, I think there's kind of a few different ways of looking at this. But for me, the New Orleans Pelicans have not played well. I thought with Zion healthy, this team would look like an absolute juggernaut and really make some of those bigger teams, those kind of, as I call them, the four horsemen in basketball right now, really kind of shake and tremble thinking about having to face them, face the depth that they have, face just the size and the freakishness that they have through the length, kind of a KD-type score in Brandon Ingram, and then, you know, just that Tasmanian daredevil type body and athleticism in Zion Williamson, and then, you know, the veteran play of CJ McCollum to continue to space the floor, but to help your team in the half court when things get tighter. But they start the season 6-7. I think there were a lot higher expectations. Obviously, it's early. They don't start off as a sprinter. We'll see how they do as the season goes. You know, I was talking in the last episode about Pascal needing to find the right spots with Scotty to work those things out in the offense, especially in the half court, and with his shooting not being great and his teammates' shooting not being great. But we've seen in the last five games that Pascal is starting to build now, right? You look at the last two games where he's been super efficient. He's moved the ball well with six assists in each game. He was unbelievable against Washington and Dallas. So we're seeing the tweaks being made and the adjustments being made, and he's coming on. I would imagine that will happen with the Pelicans too, certainly as they're fully healthy, but they have been disappointing. I would have thought they'd be maybe 10-4 at this point in the season, 9-4 at this point in the season, but they haven't been great. The Warriors have fell flat on their faces after starting the season, I think like 4-1. They do not look good at all. Obviously, Steph being in and out of the lineup does not help. Although, at 36 years of age, his shooting is ridiculous. He's making the most threes, almost by two a game. His percentages are good. His points per game are around 30. That looks nasty. But as a team, they've really struggled. They're 6-8. They've lost six in a row. This was a team that started 6-2, and now they've lost six in a row. That's just bad. Really, really bad. Their defense has been almost non-existent in that six straight losses. Draymond Green has gotten into trouble, five-game suspension. He has now become, has now the longest suspension since 2010, I think I heard. And that's bad. That just looks bad. And no one's going to want him. Like, maybe the Lakers would take him if they felt like he would make that much of a difference, especially in the playoffs, over a guy like Rui Hachimura and maybe, you know, somebody else like a D'Angelo Russell, if they felt like they had to get more defense and playmaking to open things up for Braun and AD and maybe some of their peer shooters Reeves. But right now, the Golden State Warriors are in a lot of trouble, And, they have the resilience. They've been the champs four times. We know how good they can be and how much they can turn it up. But this is not a good look for them, not a good look. And if the offense is going to rely on Steph as much as they have already, and it's going to continue because Wiggins and Thompson are not giving you what they need, and their bench still isn't producing at a high level. You know, Kuminga, good, but he needs to be a lot better. They've been really disappointing. The other team that's been really disappointing, and I don't know if it's a huge surprise. I think their record is probably a couple games below where I thought they would be, but just how they look and where things are going. And I'm sure they're trying to make deals, and we'll see, you know, in the next 2-3 months where that goes. But the Chicago Bulls look bad. I mean, they got lucky against us in their building. Otherwise, they'd be 4-10, but they're 5-9. They're a minus 3.3 points per game differential. Their offense, 107.2 a game. That's bad. That's like bottom five in the NBA. Their defense looks okay. They did win their last game, so they were 4-9 at one point. I mean, it's just not looking good for the Chicago Bulls. There's lots of talk about maybe Zach LaVine getting dumped. I'm sure around the trade deadline, knowing that it's DeMar DeRozan's final year in his contract, and Vooch only has, I think, a year after the season. This could be his last season. They just don't look good at all. And their young guys, unfortunately, have not really stepped up in the ways they thought. Patrick Williams still seems to be okay, but not special. Kobe White gives you some nice things, but not enough to get you excited, and certainly not enough to get you wins. So Chicago Bulls, maybe not as big a surprise as the Warriors losing 6 in a row, but they've just been bad and just disappointing. So who knows where that will go. I think more than anything else, I thought they would have made a trade in the offseason. Maybe they tried and they weren't able to. You know, could that have been a spot for Damian Lillard? I don't know. Probably not. But they have a lot of individual guys that a lot of teams would like to add. I mean, Caruso's another guy. They could really blow it up. And I think if they don't, that would be even more disappointing. I mean, last year they beat the Toronto Raptors in the play-in game. We remember that. It was tough to watch. They got some help from DeMar's daughter in that game. But even when they, you know, when they moved on and beat the Raptors, and we definitely just sunk really hard, the team who had the bigger upside, the team who looked like they had more good players, just talent and more promise going forward, was the Raptors in that game. And, you know, I think when you look at the teams that were around them last year, Atlanta was in that conversation. Certainly the Knicks weren't that far off. Cleveland maybe a little further ahead, but they've kind of come down in the early stages of this season. Not a like a huge surprise. But when you looked at those other teams around the Miami Heat, you could add to them because they were in the play-in too. You just felt like they didn't have the star like Jimmy Butler, and they didn't have the youthfulness at all. And so who were you excited about long-term? Whose contracts were you excited about for this team long-term? What coach were you most excited about? And the Bulls just looked like the least promising team. Of course, Patrick Beverley leaves. That's a sign, because Patrick Beverley only goes to teams who have a chance to make some noise. He's on Philly this year, and now he's all talk, which he was with the Clippers as well. But you're just like, man, they're just on the other side of their prime. And Zach LaVine just isn't with the right mix of guys. And coaching-wise, Billy Donovan's a good coach. Don't get me wrong. He's a really quality NBA guy. He's been in the NBA for almost a decade, if not a decade. And I think he's a really solid coach. But he's not an elite coach. And, you know, there's another aspect of things. Like at least, you know, Quinn Snyder was early working with Atlanta with a young star in Trae Young. I think Quinn Snyder's a better coach than Billy Donovan overall. I think he can get your team to a next level that couldn't compete in the second round, where I don't think Billy Donovan's getting you by the first round, right? Remember that OKC team that lost to Dame in Portland? I mean, they had Russell Westbrook in his prime and Paul George in his prime. And where did they go? Not that far at all, right? And so, yeah, you look at another team around them, obviously Jimmy was the great star, but Eric Spoelstra's a hell of a coach. And Bam Adebayo, who's playing really, really good this year, both sides of the ball. We know Eric Spoelstra is so good, right? Top three coaches, if not the best coach in the league right now. So it's disappointing to see the Bulls be this bad and then not make any moves. Could they turn it around and be 9-5? Could they be 20-10 in their next 30? Possibly. I just don't see that for them. And so you're looking at best case scenario, maybe the 9 or 10 seed. Is that where you want to be? You don't have any youthfulness. You don't have like a real prospect like Scottie Barnes on the Raptors or, Tyrese Halliburton for the Indiana Pacers. Like, you're in a lot of trouble as a franchise. And that's tough to watch. I've been talking a lot about teams. And I've mentioned some players who've had great starts for sure. But we got to do the power rankings. We haven't even talked about the Raptors yet and where kind of they sit. And as a Raptors podcast, you kind of have to do that. But I wanted to get in this power rankings, team power rankings, before I go any further about the Raptors. After talking about some surprises, some great starts, some disappointing starts, I thought we should look at like the teams overall. Here's how I'm going to do this power ranking. I'll say this once. I might say it again in December, and then I'll kind of go on from there and won't like kind of justify why I have the power ranking in the way that I do. But here's how it will go. Priorities in order. Record. Your record is going to speak for itself. This is about wins and losses, and so that's number one. Strength of schedule is going to matter. And so if you're out to, a quick start, a sprinter start, and you've played really crappy teams, I'm probably not going to give you the benefit of the doubt if your record is close or the same as somebody else's team. Margin of victory. There is that plus minus per game plus minus that exists. But then there's also games where you're playing, say, another big team and you just absolutely destroy them. That's going to come into play. Recent winning streaks or last 10 games, that's going to be pretty big. Obviously, early in the season, you've only played 13, 14 games, so there's not going to be too much about last 10 games, but recent winning streaks will already have an impact in my top 10 power rankings. And then impressive style, like, there's teams that have really stood out defensively or offensively, or, they've surprised teams who are also good at their home, maybe, and we'll get to one of those teams in particular. And then the last one, if you're close to another team, maybe your record's tied, maybe you've both been on the same kind of streak or last 10 games, last year's playoffs will help give you that edge, because sometimes teams just kind of take their foot off the gas. We saw this last year with Denver, but probably talk about this again with Denver too. But yeah, like, the Bucks, Denver, Boston, the Lakers, at times in this long 82 game grind of a season, you're going to have these moments where you take your foot off the gas, you let your guys sit on back-to-backs and so on and so forth. And so we're not going to talk about, that hurting them. We'll look at last year's playoffs and say, oh yeah, by the way, they're in the conference finals or in the NBA finals, and they get the benefit of the doubt. All right, so here's the power rankings. We'll start with three teams that are on the honorable mentions list. First is the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't like talking about the Lakers too much because every podcast talks about the Lakers way too much. But the Los Angeles Lakers, who started the season quite slow, have battled back. They look good. They are 7-3 in their last 10. They are starting to build momentum. AD and LeBron James are fully operational. My gosh, Bron 8 assists. The guy's got 26 points a game. Like, what more do you want from a guy who's just about to turn 39 years old? AD, I believe, leads the league in blocks and is right up at the top of the list for rebounds. His points per game have looked really solid. When AD and LeBron are playing this good, they're going to be a force. They're going to be a top four team in the Western Conference, and they're going to be a contending team, for maybe even another conference finals appearance. So good to see the Lakers, on the rise again after a slow start. And with older bodies like LeBron, it's not surprising that, the start of the season was slow. But here we are. They're back, and they're going to be there for good. The Indiana Pacers, who started really, really well and have continued to look good even in losses. They are 5-5 in their last 10, 7-5 overall. But they have one of the league's best offenses. Tyrese Halliburton. I didn't talk about the individuals, but he's one guy that you got to check out his stats. He's one of the leader in points. He's one of the leader in assists. And he's had some monster games. He had 31 points, 16 assists against the Philadelphia 76ers in Philly. That speaks volume to how much of a leap he has taken and this team has taken. He's likely to be an all-star next year. So they've played really well. Offensive rating is number 2 behind the Philadelphia 76ers. So although the record's not overly impressive, I've got to mention them as an honorable mention because they're right around that 10 seed in the NBA in this power rankings that I'm doing. The last honorable mention I'll make, and a team that is on the downtrend. They started the season 4-0. Everyone's talking about how great their offense was. It was number 1 in the league through 4 games. It's not anymore. It's not far away, but it's not there. Is the Dallas Mavericks. They are 5-5 in the last 10 games. That's why they are not in the top 10. Their offense is 3rd in the NBA, but you got to be really good when you don't play defense like they do. And so for me, having gone 5-5 in the last 10, I'm keeping them out of the Jurassic Views top 10 power rankings. At number 10, and I could have easily put this team at number 8, they're playing really solid basketball. They're playing better this regular season than they did last season. As I mentioned, the dynamic duo that they have is top 3 or 4 in the NBA. The Miami Heat are my number 10. And believe me, they could be number 7 very easy in the next few weeks when I make the next power rankings in December. The New York Knicks. Man, do they have depth. Man, do they have vibes. The chemistry is high when you've got 3 guys who played college together and won a championship. DiVincenzo and Hart coming off that bench give so much energy and add so much defensive strength along with Hartenstein to protect Emmanuel Quickley, but also to help Emmanuel Quickley on the offensive end. They are great cutters. They can shoot decently, and if they shoot over 35%, that's going to make a huge difference for them. They're 8-5. Obviously, Jalen Brunson is a hell of a player. Mitchell Robinson is one of the best blockers and rebounders in the league. He continues to rise in those categories and in his ability to do those at a high, high level. So the New York Knicks are my 9 seed. The big surprise in this top 8, not that they weren't trending and developing in the right direction, but surprising that they're 8-5 to start the season, the Orlando Magic. They were my second team, my second pick for all of you to watch in respect to the league pass teams. They've been really, really good. They actually have the best defense in basketball. They're a plus 2.8, which is great to see. They've won 3 in a row. The Orlando Magic will play the Raptors next, so you'll want to tune into that game. The Orlando Magic are my 8 seed. The number 7 seed, who had a very poor start, Sprinta, 6 in a row, are my 7 seed on the power rankings. Their offense is coming along. They had a great year last year. That 6-game winning streak has catapulted them in the Western Conference. The Sacramento Kings, who are only, I think they're the 11th best offense in the league right now, but certainly in the last six games have looked really, really good. De'Aaron Fox is an all-star. Hopefully he gets the nod again, gets the nod this year. But the Kings, with that six-game winning streak, are my seven seed. The number six seed, who had a slow start but have so much firepower, so much star power, probably will have, again, a top four duo in the league. Jimmy and Bam will have something to say, but I think in the regular season, the edge will go to this tandem of Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. The six seed is the Bucks, and after trying to experiment defensively, rookie head coach Adrian Griffin has decided not to go that route, decided to go back to a more conservative Bud-like defense, but it's paid off because their offense is so darn good and they're rebounding with Brook Lopez, obviously Portis Jr., and even Jay Crowder give you a lot of rebounding at their position, and they have been solid 9-4, and they are the sixth seed. Also at 9-4, I've kind of taken their foot off the gas the last five, six games, but because they're the defending champs, are the five seed on this power rankings, the Denver Nuggets. And believe me, if this were the playoffs, if we were entering the playoffs, they would probably be my number two favorite. They would be certainly my favorite in the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets, who are without Jamal Murray. Of course, that makes a difference, but they are very calmly and coolly in the five seed. Number four, they have a great winning streak going, second longest currently in the NBA to the Sacramento Kings, another Western Conference team, the Oklahoma City Thunder, one of the best offense in the league, top five offense. They are 8.8 in point differential per game, which puts them third in the NBA. Behind the Sixers and the Celtics. You'll hear more about them in a second. They're on a five-game winning streak, 7-3 in their last 10. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander continues to be incredible. The Canadian is shining brightly like a maple popsicle in the winter. Incredible stuff he's doing with his team. Chet Holmgren being healthy and getting into a groove now shows how good this Oklahoma City team can be this year, but how darn dangerous they are going to be in years to come. We thought the Pelicans might be this good right now with Zion, Ingram, and CJ McCollum, but it's the Thunder who take the Thunder away from the Pelicans. Sorry, New Orleans, but Oklahoma City is definitely taking center stage above you and in the Western Conference. Number three on my list, another Western Conference team. The Western Conference has three of the top five teams on this power ranking. The Minnesota Timberwolves, who have the second best defense, who have been able to figure out the complexity of having three centers. Luckily, they have two out of the three are stretch centers, but Rudy Gobert's defense has been excellent, back to that Defensive Player of the Year kind of level. I don't think he'll necessarily win Defensive Player of the Year, but it's at that level. Maybe Jrue Holiday, maybe OG Anunoby. There could be some others, maybe Bam Adebayo. But Rudy's playing as a top 10, top 5 defender. His impact has been huge, and the Timberwolves have looked really good. And after losing their first game to who? The Toronto Raptors. They have gone 9-2. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They look really, really, really good. And so they are fourth on this power ranking. Sorry, third on this power ranking. Number two and number one, my most hated teams, probably the biggest rivals to the Toronto Raptors. Number two, led by Joel Embiid, the process himself, but his partner in crime, a dynamic duo, finally dynamic, is in Philly, Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. They've looked so incredible, top, top elite offensive rating. They're right at the top. And then, of course, the Boston Celtics, who have been really, really good. Boston Celtics defensively are the third best defense in the league and the fourth best offense. I would imagine they'll be top five in both of those categories to finish the year. And that's why they are the number one team in this power ranking. There has been lots of talk of Jason Tatum being MVP right now. I'm not going to get into those MVP talks, but he's been playing really, really good. Perennial all-star, obviously. We've talked about him being the fourth best player in the NBA. Having a guy like Drew Holiday replace Marcus Smart, former defensive player of the year in Marcus Smart, and Drew Holiday is well on his way to be in that conversation this year. Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and Porzingis have all been huge for them. The impact that they have given this team is really, really good. So complementary to what Joe Mazzulla wants to do and what Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are capable of doing. Obviously, they are going to shoot the leather off the ball from downtown, but making more cuts, seeing the extra pass, getting into the paint, finding smaller mismatches is going to be effective too. When you've got guys like Cornet and Hauser coming off the bench and being an impact, and even Peyton Pritchard, who has been really, really good. I think he's top seven, top eight in assisted turnover ratio. As a backup guard, I think he's got to be a top five backup guard, point guard in the league right now. What Joe Mazzulla is doing is really, really great stuff. If they were to be the number one team in the NBA record-wise, I think you've got to talk about him in the conversation of Coach of the Year after rebounding from that terrible, terrible, heartbreaking loss in Boston, Game 7 in the conference finals. But that is my first power ranking for this season. I will come out with another one, and we'll talk about it on this pod in 3 to 4 weeks, sometime before Christmas, probably after the play-in title has been hoisted, the NBA Cup. But those are my top 10 teams, and I haven't even talked about the Raptors yet. I'll have to do one of those conversations. Probably do that next week because I've already gone 47 minutes here. It's exciting time, guys. I love the NBA. I love talking Raptors basketball. There are a lot of positives to talk about the Raptors. But when you look at the league and all the talent, you got to get to it, even as a Raptors podcast. And so I wanted to do that here in this episode, and I hope you enjoy it. All right, y'all. Peace to you. Peace in the Middle East. Hopefully there's a ceasefire soon and Palestinians are safe and sound and can reunite with their families. All right. Peace to you.